listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball, episode 63, I believe. We're getting almost regular. This is sort of like 2 weeks in a row. It's extraordinary. I don't know how that happened. It's probably by accident, knowing us, but we're here nonetheless. So we've had two games since the last time we met, and we've got the normal sort of... Yes, we have, Jan. Stop shaking your head.
Yes.
We've had Rostock, but we've also had Hertha Frauen.
We recorded just before Rostock.
So that's Rostock and Hertha Frauen.
Yes. So two. Okay. All good. Carry on. this is a shit show already.
With us here...
I thought you went to men's games, so I was like, what?
No! With us here, including Jan, who was shaking his head furiously just now.
No, Jan, despite your best efforts, women do count
they
in
do.
This world.
They do. Yeah. You can try and dismiss them as much as you like, Jan, but, you know, they count.
I have been singing Nur nach Hause to my daughter in a gender-neutral version ever since she was born.
So, on that note,
okay,
we'll flip back to the attendees that we have here in Berlin. We have Jan. Hello, Jan.
Hello.
And in Canada, where the sun always shines, as everybody knows, we have Patrick.
Hey, what's up? Call me Captain Chaos for today.
That's my role. That's not fair. You can't do that.
You can be Colonel Chaos. You outrank me.
Okay, then. And also we have the ever beautiful Joel.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
And, yeah.
Sergeant Chaos.
Oh, I didn't realize this podcast was quite so hierarchical or anything.
No, I'm just messing about.
There we go.
It's because of Jan's patriarchy.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
Supreme Leader Simon.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
The grand, isn't it like the grand dragon in the KKK? Is that what it's called?
Grand wizard. Grand wizard is
wizard.
Like, oh, grand wizard. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. You see, Jan, you know more about this than we do.
it's all this watching Hansa Rostock. That's what's done.
That Atlanta time.
Why? No, yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's the Buddy Count song from 1994.
Mm.
Look it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that sound bite here, please.
Okay.
We'll take your word for that one on, Jan, but hey. Right. Hands up, who went to watch the Hansa Rostock game in the Olympiastadion?
Well done.
There was one hand.
There was one hand, yes. There was one hand, but
I mean, I got to watch it at least. So, I mean, that's a huge step up for me. That was a lovely one.
It was a cracking atmosphere.
Did you feel any, like, tensions or troublemakers?
To be honest, where we were, the only sort of argy-bargy was amongst sort of, I think it was a group of three Hertha fans that had come up into the sort of granddad's block where I would sit. And they decided they wanted to pave like they would in the Ostkurve. And they spent a lot of time just standing up, getting in the way of other people and just generally being sort of jerks, really. They moved from one place because people started shouting at them and told him to sort of, you know, move on. And then they started doing the same sort of thing where they moved to. But that was just a very small group of Hertha fans being stupid.
Did they seem like they were half in the bag or?
Sorry, what does that mean?
Drunk?
They had big sort of jugs of beer with them, but it's only about sort of like 0.2% or whatever in the Olympiastadion, so probably doesn't make them drunk.
Okay.
It's zero at high security games, and that was one of those. No alcohol in the stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. They mentioned that the day before, maybe, or?
I mean, the police and the club, they have a meeting, and the police gets to decide what they do. And sometimes, this was a specially dangerous game in quotation marks. But usually the police decides, and then sometimes they the club decides to have the fans separated so they can get, so that they can give out alcoholic beer.
It was quite interesting in some ways to see how it was organized, because there was quite strict separation between fans, which doesn't always happen at all from what I could see on the day. I didn't see any sort of signs of sort of Rostock fans in our area, which, but also wandering around, because we went for a wander before the women's team game on the Sunday, I think it was. And we took the train along to the next station on at Picklesburg and just wandered around a little bit there. And there were hundreds of Hansa Rostock stickers all over the place, which I had great pleasure in peeling off again. But I just wondered.
Saw that on Instagram. Nice job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's got to be done. But what I wondered was, in terms of segregation, whether they had actually sort of grouped the Rostock fans into particular trains and they had to get off at Picklesburg rather than the Olympiastadion. I don't know if that was the case, but I did wonder, seeing the sort of distribution of stickers around the sort of vague area. I mean, it's just a thought, but it seems to make sense, really. They seem to have... There were police everywhere. I mean, there were a lot of police. And something that I don't remember seeing before, though I'm not saying it didn't, they had netting and things over the away blocks to stop players and things.
First time.
Coming off.
First time ever.
I don't remember ever seeing that.
And it's the first time that I remember that we had a reduced capacity. They only sold 62,000 tickets. So they would have
empty sections between.
Sections. Yeah. It wasn't that big. But regarding police, it's European Championship year. So the police are already in a good mood to beat down any football fans. So it's been getting worse.
Mm. They're practicing.
Yes. Target practice.
Yes, get your aim in now. He looks dodgy. Let's go hammer him.
Yeah. They should bring in American cops.
But I heard nothing from Fanhilfe afterwards, so must have been relatively quiet. And I asked some people, and the only thing I heard was that they threw some fireworks into, tried to throw fireworks into the sections where Hertha fans were.
What I saw, I mean, some of the time I was watching the game, surprisingly, but I mean, some of the, because some of them let off rockets and things, but they just hit the nets and bounced back onto them, so which was, you know, quite nice to see. But that's just me.
Well, the important thing, clear victory.
Absolutely, yeah.
3 points.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big.
There was some nice work done there as well, I thought. The the Pal Dardai header was a corker, wasn't it?
That was a beauty with the Winkler.
Yes.
Cross. Yes. Oh, it was that was beautiful.
That was a thing of beauty. That was.
If we could just do that, you know, every couple matches, even I'm not even asking for every match, you know,
like no, you know. Be fair.
If we could play shit teams every week, things would get so much better.
But, you know? Yeah, okay, yeah.
But honestly,
can we just play the bottom three for the last six games or whatever it is?
Roger that. But honestly, I didn't know, or I never noticed how fast Winkler is.
Oh, shit.
That was really noticeable.
Yeah. He's the fastest player on the team.
Well.
I think it was the.
I learned something.
Was it the third goal where he just absolutely just belted it down the left hand side? He just burnt him off completely, didn't he? That was just amazing.
That was the best.
Put a pass in and bang. Yeah.
Oh, and such a clever pass because Riese was waving and waving and he waited for Dade to come along and then he gave it to the guy who was absolutely free. Yeah, he got new shoes. He got new shoes before the Schalke game. And ever since he's had the shoes...
Is that what did it, Jan? Having the new shoes?
I mean, here we have the finance minister or something. Each year, the tradition would be that he would, you know, wear new shoes to the, you know, the presentation of the. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I think I thought Britain did the same. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Ah, that's a good question.
I thought it was an English tradition that we followed.
It could be
like an English parliamentary tradition. Yeah. So our minister of finance and like, yeah. Sorry, I don't.
No. Go on.
Yeah. Like, all right, so like Patrick's saying, every year when our minister of finances announces the yearly budget for the government in the House of Commons, they go and purchase them a brand new pair of shoes every time. It's a weird little ceremonial thing, but I thought it was based on an English thing. I don't know.
But I mean, I think, as far as I know, they did it in the Quebec government did that, and the federal government did it as well, and the Ontario government as well.
When they announce a budget in England, they have this dodgy little red bag that they hold up, which has gone on for, you know, God knows how long, but never heard anything about new shoes.
Okay. Well, then I guess it's a Canadian thing then. I wasn't sure. I don't know where it comes from.
It might be something from England, but it's nothing I've heard of. So,
all right. So, yeah, more about the game.
Yeah. Tabakovic, again, another one. That was nice. I don't know. I was happy to see him hit the score sheet again. Why not? Pad those numbers. Let's go.
Well, he did some good work as well, didn't he? Because he sort of ran away and sort of got that. I think was that the last goal?
Yeah.
I forget now, but
it was late.
He did well. And isn't he a top scorer or something now?
I think so, yeah. With 19, is that it?
How can we have it? So again, like, how do we have a top scorer? How do we have Winkler doing what he was doing? And when we still have Rhys, who didn't even, like, he scored a penalty, but he wasn't like doing what he does other times. No. You know, how do we have all this? And we have nothing. We have sixth on the table in the second Bundesliga.
Because we haven't been doing it consistently. That's our flipping trouble, isn't it? Welcome to Hertha.
Yeah, and I can confirm that Jan was furiously pointing at his phone to remind me of to check the notes. And yes, Tabakovic, now sole goals leader with 19. And another, okay, and Jan just shot himself. Okay. good podcasting right there. And also, Deo keeps the sheet clean.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. True.
That was very pleasing, actually, there at the time, because, I mean, how many times have Hertha done quite well and then they conceded some stupid goal for no apparent reason? So having a clean sheet was pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the feeling that I haven't heard that much about him during the season. Or is it me?
I think he was on loan somewhere last season and he came back and he was really great in training camp. And then he was the best guy on the pitch in the first match in Düsseldorf. And then he got injured. And then he came back.
Okay, so that's
then why. Then he came back at various positions. And, you know, he's really good at hogging the ball. I mean, this game really suited him because he only had a limited things to do. But in the other matches, you know, he's always... That I said in the press conference that he's really, really great. But you can't play him the whole game because he usually gets the first yellow after 10 minutes and then he gets out. And I looked it up. I think he had his first match. I looked it up because I remember that he got a second yellow within 10 minutes when he first played for Hertha back in 2020 or something like that.
Jesus. Yeah,
so that I said that. And he went off after if I only could read the notes I wrote myself. He was subbed off in the 58th minute because he got a yellow before the break. And Bouchalakis came in and still was still a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Rostock is not a really good team, but I think that the switch in the system really helped a lot because you don't have two defensive midfielders. You have only one, which is Zeefuyk, who just runs everybody down, gets every ball, and...
He did really well.
And Kempf did well, and Kempf was more forward. Was like a 7-6. he did more in the forward position. And then you had Bakuk and Dade free to go to all the spaces they usually don't can go to. And Bakuk is not a six, so he's more of an offensive player. And this game he had some better scenes, and especially when the first goal was the first goal the header.
Yeah.
The first goal was the header.
I think so. Yeah.
When the header happened, he was on the left and he was penetrating into the box. So one of the players had to guard him, and then somehow, so he kept them busy. So there was room for Palco, even though Palco did a great thing, because I just looked at the highlights before we started recording, and the one player saw him and he keeps talking about him and looking at him all the time. But somehow he just weaved between the players and got to the ball first. That was pretty neat.
Nice.
I didn't see the first half, so maybe you can, Joel, give us some.
Some tongue clicking.
Yeah, I think we sort of did talk about it a little earlier in this. I thought they heard it played a lot better, even though the obviously 4-0, I don't think illustrate sort of the pace of the match properly. Like, I do feel like we were a lot stronger in that first half. And then the second half, like, they were coming on kind of strong even until we scored that third goal, really kind of nailed them down. But, like, I think our possession was way down. And I guess maybe we're just sitting back, right? I mean, whatever was the bus.
What are people's opinions of the penalty that was and the penalty that wasn't?
I think there's too many penalties in general. But this was a penalty. It's just too many penalties, in my opinion. But he had his hand out to the left, pretty clear. And the other scene where
he was trying to pull it away.
Oh, the non? Yeah, are you talking about the one where it just hit his shoulder? Or
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, both, really, from what I can remember, is that the one that was given to Herter, the guy, I think he had his left arm fairly close down towards his body, and the ball hit it. Perhaps I'm wrong, and I thought he was moving it away from the ball.
Jan is holding his hand and arm up and out, everyone. Just to, to demonstrate to Simon how the hand was out, apparently.
It was to the side of his body. It was under pressure. So usually if there was no pressure, the hand would move. The hand didn't move. The ball moved. So he had his hand under pressure and was to the side of his body, while Tabakovic was turning away and his arm was in front of him.
Okay.
Just really close to his body. So
perhaps I'm an unconscious bias to the place of my mother-in-law's birthplace.
No, I don't know. No, never. Never. I got into a fight with Klaus about a penalty for Union once. Well, I said, it's a penalty. It's just a penalty.
I looked at it and I thought, yeah, that one was given, but that one wasn't. And I thought I would float it for discussion, you know.
I don't remember the given as well as I do the not, actually, to be honest.
Just looking at the time, I had no idea what was going on in the stadium, really, to be honest. But looking at the highlights, you look at it, and I did sort of wonder. I do remember when the first penalty was given, that there appeared to be sort of like the whole Rostock team sort of gathered around the ref, sort of, you know, whinging about it. I do remember that. But at the time, you know, you're so far away, you can't really see what's going on, to be fair.
But you can't really measure or have a referee decide whether the other team is complaining.
No, of course not. No.
Yeah, but in general, the rule has been changed over the years, and it's a pretty shitty rule. Now they've gone back to intent and making your body broader with the handball in the box. But they keep changing. It's not really. It's very, very arbitrary. I just remember last season, was it Leverkusen, when the player stopped the ball with his arm on the goal line and nothing happened? No penalty, what? No red card, no nothing?
I don't remember.
That was last... go ahead and talk. I'll look it up. I'll find it.
No, Jan.
No. Stay on target.
Yes.
Stay on target.
Yeah, we need your bandwidth, Jan. You know?
Next time I'm Berlin, I'm gonna place a little target on top of his camera so he can just sort of focus. Yeah, well, yeah, focus.
Like blinders for a horse.
Yes, yes. Yes, even better, a special helmet. You're wearing this.
No, but there was a scene, I think, last 2 weeks when Union were playing and their captain stopped the ball near close to the goal and they got a penalty, but he didn't get a red card because the referee fucked up. And I just remembered that we got robbed like this some time ago.
Wow. All right. So anything else about that game or we're good?
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah.
Nice victory. Didn't concede any goals. More like that, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Five more times.
Oh, one thing. That is it in the press conference that he liked the game and everything, but his favorite scene from the match was when Toni Leistner was subbed in. Riese, who had been the captain in his absence, went over to him and gave him the armband. And he said, that says everything about the team.
I prefer the part when we scored four times, but that's just me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah.
And also, just to add to that, when the whistle went and we hadn't conceded any as well. So, you know, all those yes. things are good. Yeah.
Patrick is such a Dada hater.
No. I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. But one thing I remember, they did come out really strong, Rostock did, at the start of the second half. Mm. And we were on our heels for like a good 10, 15 minutes. Mm. But after that, it was pretty much all, it was under control, I'd say.
Yeah, once it was 3-0, the writing yes. was on the wall for everybody. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you could, I mean, we've been there before. If they score quickly at the start of the second half, then it's back to square one.
For Hertha fans.
Yeah, exactly.
3-0, I was still nervous.
No. Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah,
to be honest, it would get when it was 2-0, I was still hanging on until that whistle blew.
Yeah,
white knuckling through the last 5 minutes. Let's watch us fuck it up once more.
Yeah. Oh, please, how many times have I sat there and they start singing their sort of Hertha sort of tour hymn, and towards the end, leading up to a win, and then suddenly splat. We muck it up. I mean, that's just awful
feeling.
Yeah,
yeah. Familiar feeling. That was good win, good vibes.
So we're 8 points out of third and with 5 games left. I mean it's not mathematically out yet.
No just fairly unlikely, let's be honest about it, but
really sucks because we could all think of a few games that okay, we had no business dropping that one. We had no business dropping this one.
Yeah.
And those things catch up to you.
Oh, yeah. How many wins turn to ties?
Yeah.
Or how many ties turn to a loss?
And it sucks, but it's not like it's anything new. We know the feeling. Yeah. All right, so yeah, next on the item list, I mean, we're good with Rostock. We can put them in the review.
We can.
For good? Okay. Okay, so next up we have Hertha Frauen versus Turbine Potsdam.
Mm.
I don't know anything about that match, so please
Simon knows the most because I had to play with crayons, and he was the one who was watching the game.
Hey, was it crayons or chalk? I assumed it was chalk. To be honest, it was my first women's team game, and it was really quite good. We sort of rocked up there. We heard about it because of Jan. I hadn't sort of twigged that it was on, really, to be honest, beforehand. So we sort of took the day and went out there. That's how we discovered all those sort of Rostock tickets. Over by Picklesburg. But we sort of walked along towards the Olympic Park, and they were selling tickets for people that had either membership or season tickets. It was like €2, I think it was, to sort of get in, which was sort of
wow,
uber cheap. It wasn't that cheap, I think, if you were just sort of going there on the fly. But I can't.
Hey, I always have my membership card on me, so.
I'd be good to
get it here.
€2 is pretty good.
Till you hear how much the season ticket was.
Oh.
We're waiting.
Spoilers, Jan. Go on.
Guess.
10.
No, it can't be that cheap. No.
I don't know.
€29.
Oh, that's, I like that number.
€374 million. No.
What?
It was $15 for members.
Really?
Whoa. Oh, wow.
15.
Jesus.
Wow. Well, I'm thinking if it's 2 per match, I mean, like, how much higher could it possibly be? Like,
well, it's meant to be cheaper. I just made up a number. I don't know.
I have a super dumb question. How many matches do the Frauen team play in a season?
Good for you.
Jan is holding up his Frauen...
Dauerkarte.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, yeah, how many matches is that?
I have to check. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, so I'm checking.
The patriarchy strikes again. Okay, I'm just...
Well, I hope it's at least like 8, right? Because what makes sense? If you can just go to 2 for €2 a match, you hope that.
Well, yeah, otherwise you get ripped off.
Yeah, so it's got to be more than 8. I mean,
whilst Jan's looking it all up, I mean, the atmosphere is really quite good. Obviously, there weren't that many people. I think it was about 250 or so, something like that. So it's quite a small number. But there was a hardcore of people with flags, and they had a drum there, and they were singing, which was really quite nice. It was
oh, wow.
It was really, really quite good. I quite enjoyed it.
What about Potsdam? Did Potsdam have any representation out of the 200?
26 match days.
So 13? Okay. So 13 home games is what you get €15 for? I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, a euro something a game, like,
that's not too shabby, is it?
Yeah.
But they don't always play at the same place. So matches can be at Zehlendorf, they can be at Hertha, they can be at the beach soccer arena.
Why is that? Is that like, are they trying to spread the love, or is there some sort of issue, or like?
There's no room.
Okay.
Oh.
So they're playing at the old.
Not even at the, around the Olympia Park, or?
The game was played at the Olympia Park.
Immediately before the women's match, I don't know what age it was, but there was a boys' match that was just finishing as they started. So, I mean, I'm guessing I would say there were like, I don't know, 14, 15 or something like that, I suppose. So whether they have sort of lots of different tiers having to use the pitches in the Olympia Park, I mean, that's speculation on my part. I don't know.
And now it's gotten worse because you have the Amateurstadion under construction.
Yeah.
That was the joke about the beach soccer arena because it's all sand now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was quite funny looking at that.
It went right over my head.
Yeah.
It was a good joke though. So.
Sorry
about that. Okay. So yeah, about that match. How many people were there? Do you know?
It was about 250, I think.
Okay.
You know, around that sort of number.
But they had a little counter at the, when we were walking in, they had a little, you know, these hand counters.
Yeah.
They
used
it this time. Because I remember I was at one match there, I was assisting the person who did the stadium announcing thing. It was in Zehlendorf. And when they asked how many people were there, why don't you count this and then we multiply?
Wow.
But it also, the under 23 were playing at the same time in, they now have to play their home games.
On the same pitch?
No, but they now have to play their home matches in, Jahnsport Park, which is really, really shitty.
What was quite impressive, some people had clearly been to go and watch that match. And when that match was over.
No, he left at halftime. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, taking in both games. Quite impressive,
being productive.
Yeah,
all right. So okay, and how what was the final score?
It was I don't think it's been mentioned yet, but it was 3-3 in the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you Joel, you were asking about the support for Potsdam.
Oh,
it was the second.
Yeah.
It was their second team, so it wasn't that much.
Oh, wait, the second team? I didn't realize.
It was the second team, yeah.
Oh. The second women's Turbina Potsdam team.
Yeah, Turbina 2.
Jesus.
Well, in women's football, Turbina Potsdam, I mean, they're quite big, aren't they? Or have been historically.
They had just been relegated. Actually,
really?
Zofian Chahed used to be their coach, the guy who's now in charge of the women's department. He used to be the coach of Turbina, and had a cooperation with Turbina. And then he left, and then the cooperation ended, and Turbina got relegated. But I think they're now in contention to get promoted again to the first Bundesliga again. The first team of Turbina Potsdam, of course.
Yeah.
But they've really lost some. Most big men's clubs have now women's teams. Frankfurt has absorbed one team into, now they play with their colors. It was FSV Frankfurt, and now it's they're called Eintracht Frankfurt. Munich has a team now. Wolfsburg has a Champions League winning team. So the most traditional female teams are now going down.
Oh.
And then
that's the downside of it all.
Without a larger professional association. Mm. Yeah, okay.
And then you have teams like Victoria, who they're playing on Sunday, who styled themselves right after, is it LAFC? There's one Premier League team, MLS team that's owned by Natalie Portman and some other people. You have Victoria, who are pros, and you have Union, who are pros. So they already have a big advantage. But I think Union are in our head now. And in 2 weeks' time, there's the second leg match of the season. It's in Köpenick in the big stadium.
Okay.
It was supposed to be the first game of the second leg of the season, but Union has postponed it. And I think Ines is now very busy getting money, because they are making a real big choreo thing. And it costs quite a lot of money.
Okay.
A couple of $100.
We would have liked to have been there, really, but it's, you know, what with having just come back and where.
And when is that?
It's on Sunday, isn't it? Is it Sunday? I think so.
On Sunday is the match at Victoria and Lichterfelde. I think I'm going, but Hertha is playing, the men's team is playing roughly at the same time, so.
Oh, well, tough choice.
I'll go to the women's game, and you're going to tell me about the game, the men's game. Union is on the 28th of April.
Okay.
But Union won the first game 6-1, so they're really... The women's team almost got relegated last season, so they're already doing pretty well. The first season was wonderful. They were in fourth place, and now they're a bit struggling, but that's okay. It's a young team. Nobody is a pro. Some are still in school or just study university, so all's good.
Like high school?
High school, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I was joking, but okay.
If you follow they have an Instagram account. If you follow them, there was one post a few days ago that one goalkeeper just turned 18.
Wow.
And they're doing pretty nice content for, it's only one person who does it, and she's really good at it. At Hertha Frauen, I think, on Instagram. You can link it in the show notes.
Yay! Yes, I will. All right, so next on the list, we have Hertha at Karlsruhe. Our friends. Okay, injured, we have Christensen, Dudziak, Pekarik, Prevliak, and Clemens. What I had in mind about that match, and I asked it earlier in the chat before we recorded. Okay, so we have a friendship with KSC, okay, with Karlsruhe. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering how different those matches are regarding atmosphere and, compared to other Bundesliga clubs. Like, for example, I'm guessing that the away fans have their own section, you know, just like normal. But before the match, it's probably like, you know, everybody can, you know, socialize with anyone, right?
For the first match in the season, when they played here, the home match, they switched the away block. They took it away from the Marathon Tor and brought it into the Gegengerade.
Oh, so next to the Ostkurve?
No, but...
Closer.
Closer. Not close, but closer.
Okay.
and they were only in the top. Nice. It was really funny. The only thing was, they had a fan fest planned, so they had rented out the where we usually have the members meetings, but the train was late by 5 hours. So
5 hours.
Yeah, all the ultras were waiting.
Jesus Christ. And, fuck's sake.
And they had a fun march together. Then they slightly fucked up the choreo a little bit.
How do you fuck that up?
Something went wrong, and then you saw like a KSC logo dangling around somewhere and then falling down, something like that. But I think they're going to start tomorrow with the FanFest in Karlsruhe.
Okay.
They're having a march as well, aren't they? Or...
Yeah, on Sunday then. On Sunday at 10 or something like that. I'm not sure. When does the game start? At 1:30? Yeah. So they have a fan march at 10, but they have, maybe they learned from the last time, so they now have an extra day for the thing. Yeah. But then you also, you always have ultras from the other club visiting the home matches of the other ones. So you always have, you usually for a home game, usually have some supporters from Karlsruhe there as well.
Mm.
Okay. And everybody's like super chill about it, of course. You know, you're not going to have any assholes over there.
Yeah, it's really nice. I've never been, but I asked Mark because he travels to lots of away games, and he used to study in Mainz, so he was kind of closer to it. And he said, it's if you go up there in a Hertha shirt or in a Hertha scarf in Karlsruhe, you get, hey, everybody's really nice.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That's refreshing after last match, especially.
Yeah. And they asked Dade today what he thinks about the fan friendship and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, I think it's nice for the fans, but I went there as a player and we got killed for nothing in a very important match. I don't care. And that...
Grumpy Dardai.
That was the match they had to win, I think, to still make the Champions League in the season when they almost became champions. And because they lost that match, Voronin had to leave everybody. That's how the downfall started. But to be fair, the downfall started because Hoeneß had everything financially on a cliff, and they missed the cliff by an inch. So it's not the team's fault, but that was the match they lost, and that could have changed fortunes. And they also now have it was in the part in documentary also, they have a cooperation between the youth academies. Oh, and the Hertha women played their first match at the Summerfest last year against the women's team of Karlsruhe.
Oh. Mm.
So there's a lot.
Okay.
Should have worn my sweater. I have a sweater I bought from FKO because they were playing at the Wildpark for all these years, and the Wildpark was about to be remodeled. And so they had a huge, huge ceremony with a lot. It was really great. Maybe you can look it up on YouTube. It's pyros all around the stadium, and they officially declared the match over so that nobody could find them for the pyro. It was really, really good. I had goosebumps and everything. So they said, okay, the match is now over. All come, get home safely. And then they started lining up around the track, and they all had flares in their hands. Yeah. And then the league fined them a couple of hundred thousands for the pyro during a game. And they made a solidarity pullover. And it's a little, it says, Vereint in den Farben, Vereint gegen alle, united by colors against everybody else.
Okay.
And they sold it for, like, I don't know, 20, 30 bucks, and I bought it, and the money went to the Karlsruhe fans.
To pay the fine.
Fines. Yeah.
Ah, nice.
So solidarity, you know? Said, pyros are good, fuck you.
Yes. Is that... That should be the next t-shirt.
Yeah. I want royalties on that idea.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, you absolutely need to copyright it, trademark it for sure. Yes. All right. So, yeah, you know, friendship between clubs, I'm all for it. So, hopefully this is a good weekend for us mostly.
I'm pro friendships, but, you know, I'm not pro giving up points to a team that's 1 point behind mine on the table.
Absolutely. So, get where you're coming from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we better not be too friendly, especially on the field.
We can win in a friendly way.
Yeah. Yes, okay, there exactly. We go. I mean,
exactly.
They beat St. Pauli.
A little too kumbaya for me, you know. We still need to slap these guys in their own barn, okay? So don't let's not forget that, you know.
Eyes on the prize. That's true. Good call.
Come on, every point here. You know? I mean, I'm clinging, boys. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna cling until, you know. Let's go.
You have to. Hope is the last thing to die, they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so next up on the agenda, we have, well, you know, cleverly titled Financial Stuff. So, Jan, you linked to a...
Who came up with that headline?
I did.
It is tax season, after all. I mean...
What? Oh, no. Jesus. Yes. Yeah. So don't remind me. In Canada, anyway, the deadline is April 30th.
How strange, because in the UK it's April 6th, and in Germany it's April 30th. Sort of like the end of the year, which kind of makes sense. Really,
No. It's April 30th. You have 3 months to prepare your financial statements.
Hmm. Well, I have somebody do that for me. So
same.
Yeah, same.
But doesn't it run from beginning of January to the beginning of January?
Yeah, 1st of January to the 30th of December, but you have to prepare. It's called tax season for us because you have to prepare your taxes. That's why it's called tax season. Because all the auditing companies, they're really, really busy in the first quarter, because that's especially in May. I think when I used to work at the auditor's office I worked at, we had a ban on like a vacation. We're blocked from, I think, from end of January till middle of May, because that's all hands on deck.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing here in Canada like that. It's like I don't know if you've ever seen like the reference of like the Spirit Halloween stores, how they move into like ghost retail spaces right around Halloween. But the same... More the point is,
I've not seen it here, but I can imagine it. Yeah,
it's a North American thing. It's like that, but for tax places, like the weird little tax shops will open up in like kind of closed down businesses for a few months during like March, April to get people to come in and file their taxes with them.
I never noticed, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's like fireworks in Germany.
Well, yeah, that's true. You can only buy them like for the last 2 weeks of the year, I think. They changed that, right?
I have no clue. I don't really do that stuff anymore, so I don't know.
You're not in the market anymore? Okay.
I think it's different now because you can get everything online. And of course, you can go to Poland. But when Berlin was still with confined by a wall, 27th till the 29th, it was 2 days you were allowed to buy them.
Okay.
And wow, my friends used to work there and they would really just work there all day and they could take all the rest with them. And I went to parties where guys came up with 5-6 big bags and they would just go to Teufelsberg and play war.
Oh.
Nice. I personally absolutely hate.
You should have gone close to Bernauer Straße and send them over the wall, like light them up and throw them over the wall.
I'm pretty sure that happened as well. Pretty sure that happened as well.
And just wait for the bullets to come back in the other direction. Yeah,
I would really love to spend New Year's Eve in a country that doesn't allow fireworks or just reduced fireworks, because it's been hell and it's always hell. And then this one year we went to this Brandenburg village where friends of us have a ice cream parlor, and we were all happy, so it's gonna be a bit quieter than here. And then we saw the neighbors park their car, and two guys or three guys were carrying that one cannon. It was worse than Berlin, because you had this one guy right next to you.
It was actually a Patriot missile system that.
Yeah, like they found some like boxes full of you know Panzerfaust, the anti-tank weapon.
Yeah. Oh,
so yeah. All right, come on, guys, it's probably still good. Kaboom!
It'll work. I can hold it. It's fine.
The crater is still smoldering the next week.
You have these little batteries with 26 shots, something like that, which I like those because you can light them once and then you have 26 little shots. And this thing was just a bit bigger. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bad.
It's probably Jesus. What the Rostock fans wanted to let off, but the netting held it in.
Speaking of which, Simon, did it stink a lot because people were complaining about the smell?
Oh, the smoke was. Oh,
we didn't even mention that. Didn't even mention that we forgot to mention that the game started late.
Yeah, true. Like 10 minutes. Did.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Like 10 plus minutes late. It's true.
Yeah.
Jesus. But you couldn't see the pitch. It was actually there was a family that brought them. Why they brought their young children to this particular game, I don't know. But they were just sitting along from us. and when they set off all their smoke bombs, because there were like loads of them, And the sky just went dark with it, really. And the smell was just crazy. And people were putting things over their faces and things. It was bad. And this young family, their kids were crying and things. Why you brought them?
Oh my God.
This particular game, I don't know, but they ended up leaving.
Oh, wow.
Wait until the game has started before crying, at least.
That was just the smoke.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't even lost yet, and they were still crying. Exactly.
Gonna have plenty of chances to cry afterwards, believe me.
Yeah.
Normally, I wait to get to the pub afterwards, and then I start crying. It's not,
So those are the people that the stadium announcer always talks about when somebody lights a flare. He said, dear such and such fans, please be careful. There's children around.
You mean these people, really? There was one lad there that was probably about 9 or something, and then 2 other ones that were younger. If you're going to bring your kids, because these weren't sort of normal sort of season ticket people, they had chosen to come to this game. Would you really bring your kids to that particular game
at that time of day?
Is there any chance that they could not have known about it? Or?
Well, it's possible, but I mean, it was, I would like to think they didn't know that there might be some sort of problem there.
Like maybe if it was like, obvious tourists.
Oh, well, no, they weren't obvious tourists, no. They were just ill-informed, I guess, to be fair, the smoke was bad.
Yeah.
On TV, it looked...
It looked pretty intense for sure.
In terms of smoke from pyros and things, probably the worst I've ever experienced there.
So usually I remember asking you, Jan, when there is a delay of that kind, the fan club, they are always fined.
Oh, yeah, question was.
What's the question was? That's what I was supposed to look up.
Yeah, that's what Jan was supposed to.
Oh, that's it.
That's what Jan was supposed to know already.
There you go. Well, at least we found it, at least. Like we know what we don't know. So that's progress.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Right, so, that's good. As you were saying, you were speaking, I'm like, this is it. That's what I'm like, that's the thing that Jan is supposed to know.
As we always say, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and then we'll forget about it.
Yeah.
Not this time.
Used to say that, Jan, to be fair.
Yeah, we never used to say that. We went straight to the forgetting part, Shortcut.
I just Googled and Freiburg had to pay 31,000 euros. FCA had to pay 10,000 euros. So they are finding them for the delays,
okay.
I think, because of there is one rule. I think there's one rule in the bylaws about throwing objects at the pitch, because there were some instances of people being hit by a lighter or something like that. I think there's an older picture where Oliver Kahn, when he was still playing for Karlsruhe, he was bleeding profusely from his head after he was hit by something. I don't remember what it was. So there's this line, and people can get sued for that. But all the stuff they threw at the protests were pretty hilarious. I mean, tennis balls and stuff like that.
Yeah. Interestingly, at the, you know, going into the Rostock game, I'd had the sort of the best or strongest search that I'd ever had, really, because they asked to see my keys for some reason, which specifically, I don't know why. I mean, I don't go in with very much anyway, and usually I have my keys on the end of a pair of Herta shoelaces hanging from my belt loop, and I had them dangling down there anyway, but he specifically asked for the keys, which are just sort of dangled in front of him, and it was all fine. So whether they were looking for things that people could, you know, I don't know, coins or things that you could lob onto the pitch.
Sometimes you can attach weird little things to your key rings, like, I don't know, little pen knives, or even, like, I've seen something that someone can, like, slip between their fingers.
Brass knuckles.
Like,
yeah.
All right. Like, yeah, like little items they might be able to add into a fight in some way.
Okay.
So maybe it's something like that. I mean,
they should have checked behind my back and that there was an axe there. Yeah.
Then, Simon, you needed to explain to the guy, no, don't worry about it. I keyed the police car before the match.
Yeah.
You can have my keys. I don't need them anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, if they will fine Rostock like 30-ish thousand euros, I hope it bankrupts the club. That would be fun. That would be fun.
You're not full partisan at all here, are you, Patrick?
just a little bit.
I looked some more. They were fined 20,000 for the 10-minute delay. And
okay,
Nürnberg, who had fans walk onto the running track, and it says here up to 500 persons were behind the goal. They were fined 40,000 for that protest.
What about the guy that didn't have enough to sort of warrant taking his clothes off, that went sort of running off through the pitch?
Oh yeah,
was that never shown on TV? There was a
no, we saw it.
Yeah, there was a guy running around.
He wore a Chelsea shirt.
No, but I'm pretty sure I saw it. I mean, I remember one guy, one pitch invader.
Yeah, he came running around, and they had to chase around and catch him.
He did a pretty good job of dodging the stewards for a while.
He lasted pretty long, yeah.
He did.
Okay.
He broke one tackle.
Yes.
But I saw later he was wearing a Chelsea shirt.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Oh, gross.
So let's move on, if that's okay. Financial stuff. I don't know why I cannot pronounce that word, but yeah, financial stuff.
Why did you write it then?
Well, and pronounce it. Sounds pretty good to me.
Financial stuff. Okay. So Jan, you linked to a document earlier today. You want to give us the Cliff's Notes on it, or?
The TLDR?
Yes.
I don't have it open right now because I was looking at the article I translated. I sent you a translation of an article by Mark Schwitzky where he talks about the whole situation at length. And because it was so long, I think I wrote down three things. Hang on. Yeah. What's the question?
Give us the TLDR on that article, please.
Okay. So, of course, Hertha was in the shitter. They let 80 people go from the Geschäftsstelle, and they got rid of all kinds of redundancies. And for example, they had this special Hertha TV Plus where you could watch the games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not live, but on replay, which was really good. And I loved it. And then.
Yes, it was good.
And they never reimbursed me. Yeah, but it was like 800,000 euros a year for them. So.
And to be fair, they didn't charge very much for it, did they? It was
1892
euros, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to let go 80 people, including the entire CSR department, which was really sad.
Which might explain a few things.
Oh.
people in the WhatsApp group, they say, I wrote them about something and I never got a reply, or, you know, it takes months to receive anything you order from the shop.
To be fair, that's been going on for years, though, wasn't it? That's
well, not... yeah, but I guess it's not going to get any better.
No.
But what's the CSR connection to that?
Well, I mean, they are the people who reply to...
corporate social responsibility? Corporate social responsibility?
Oh, I thought it was like a customer service representative. Representative, yeah.
No.
Oh, shit. Okay, never mind then.
Okay.
Jesus. Well,
that's what we all thought, to be fair.
Oh, my God. Time for a soundbite.
How do you fuck that up?
And I just did.
For the last season, Hertha had a loss of 99 million euros.
Ooh,
woof.
And 777 stepping in kind of saved Hertha's ass, because they agreed to pay, they bought the shares from Vintos at a great loss for him, which is awesome.
Which is great, nice. Yes.
Yeah. And now they have pledged 100 million and they've already paid 75 so far. And they've paid everything so far on time, which also is news.
Yeah, that's good.
Windfalls.
That's a nice change.
True.
They also repaid 25 million in debt, but they're still 70 in debt, and you still have the Nordic bond, which is the biggest liability, because Ingo Schiller, who was the head of financials, did all these creative stuffs to find money. So I think 2018, I'm not remember what, before COVID, they issued a bond people could buy, and it was... I think it was 10.5% interest, and I think it was supposed to cost 20 million. I'm not exactly sure, because they changed it now. During the summer, they renegotiated and they upped the percentage, which of course will cost more for Hertha in the end. And it's up to 40 million now, and it's due in 2025. So, which is... Yeah, so it's all looming over Hertha's head. Then you have...
So how much is it? 40, you said? 14.
40 million is the...
40, 40.
Okay, 40. Okay.
40.
Yes, yeah, 40. Très bien. Très bien. Nice. Very nice.
40.
Multilingual podcast.
40, yeah.
I'm not so far advanced in my Norwegian yet, so I can only say fem, but not 40. I'm sorry. Yeah, and TV income is greatly reduced. If you're in the second league, it used to be 74 million last year. Now it's 22 million and will be just under 20 million next year. So there's not much money coming in from there. Then you had to spend a lot of money selling the players. They could still make the money. We're not going to talk about the losses they made with that, but that's another different story for after the season. We're going to take 10 episodes to go through entire stuff. yeah, they generated 30 million from that, but it's not going to be happening again, because you can't sell a player from the second league for much more than 10, if at all.
Yeah.
Mm. No matter how good they are. So Hertha has to win promotion by 2025. Herrich, who was in charge of finances.
When you say 2025, do you mean, you know, like next season or the season after that?
For the 2024-2025 season or the 25-26 season?
Let me quote from the article I translated, okay? So it's okay, basically
yeah,
from...
Please.
I mean, that made this the easiest. Director Herrich labeled promotion by the year 2025 as without alternative on the Hertha Base podcast. And he just said 2025. That's all he said. Listen to the podcast. They had Tom Herrich and Fabian Drescher on for a special episode, and they talked to them for 2 hours, something like that. So he said you won't have a chance to pay out the bond unless you get promoted, because 40 million is
okay.
Lots of shirts to sell. But Hertha has, I mean, the good news is that, that's the good news. That's why the article came out in the first place. They got their operating result to zero. But still the EBITDA, that's earnings before income, not income, sorry, before interest. Sorry. Ah, I know it.
Yeah, yes, same. I had to work on a financial document last week.
I used to do that for 10 years, so I should know.
That's okay.
So, interest taxes.
Earnings before interest taxes, depreciation and amortization. Yes.
It was there in the document. I just didn't see it. So it will be negative, but it's still good. And I think that originally, Harry said that they would break even only in 2025. So it's there ahead of the plan. But you really have to keep a tight budget. You can't make much more money from anything, but you still have to field a team that's competitive.
Mm.
And then you have players like Kenny, who's really, really, who has a good let's just call it a Bobic contract. It's just too much money. Yeah. He has a Bobic contract. Yeah. He's playing well. He likes it now, but he's going to be too expensive. Same with Marc-Oliver Kempf, who was a Bobic hire, who just said in an interview that he would like to stay. Then you have Zeefuyk, who also has, he was hired by Preetz, but still he has I think he was hired in 2020. So it was after the big money came in. So he has a very, very high paying contract, which should leave. And he already said that he would leave because the team said that he would leave. And then he played 2-3 good games. And I think Benjamin Weber, the sporting director, was asked in a press conference what to do about Theo Zeefuyk. And he said something like, yeah, we might have to talk again. So I hope that maybe they can renegotiate their contracts and then stay.
Mm-hmm.
But you sold all your silverware now with Dodi and everything.
Mm.
Especially, Tuzar hurts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was
25 million, 1.6 million back, moving to Kubinik.
Piontek as well.
Yeah, Piontek.
How much do we sell him for? Was that 10 euros?
10
free? A bag of pucks? Like, you know?
Yes.
Which one? Which
player? Piontek.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah, free transfer. That's what I thought.
I oversold him. You know, I don't know. I'm just generous.
Jesus. Unreal.
Yep. Even getting Piontek was stupid in the first place, but that's a different story. Because he never fit the system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the need to get promoted next season. That's the biggest worry. Like, you know, balancing the books. Okay, that's one thing. But if you're not promoted, you're absolutely screwed. That is not a good feeling.
No.
You know?
Yeah, especially since the people who shit the bed are mostly not there. I mean, Herrich was there, but he was not really in the position.
No, yeah, exactly. It's not their problem anymore. Yeah.
Ain't that always the way, though, to be fair? Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. So, yeah, on this happy note, we can, we don't have anything else, I think. All the other stuff we covered last episode. I was also going to mention like briefly that 777 is having some problems regarding Everton in the Premier League, and Everton is their big catch, if you like. And I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what may or may not happen to Everton. I don't know how that will affect the other clubs under 777. So let's hope that, you know, shit doesn't roll downhill too much this time.
What appears to be happening with Everton is a bit iffy, because they seem to be keeping on being sort of, you know, fined and what have you for financial irregularities, but Man City seem to be able to sort of do whatever they like.
I know, yeah. And they still have 116 charges over them. And they are fighting every one of them. And it's going to take years. Like, you know, Guardiola and all those other fuckers are all going to be gone by the time it's settled. I hate that club so much.
Yeah.
Which is why we need 50 plus one.
Well, yeah, that's a good argument in favor. Definitely. Yes.
How many clubs in the Bundesliga are actually fully owned and operated by the fans in a true 50 plus one basis?
I mean, what is true 50 plus one? I mean, there's clubs that don't have...
Like, you don't have the actual professional team carved off as a separate company.
Oh, not many, not many. I know it's Schalke is one of them because that's what they're always on about. Mainz, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Schalke.
I think, I think it's only 3-4 in the entire two top tier leagues. I could look into that.
So, although people talk about the 50+1, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but if you think of it as the whole club, it's not a true picture, is it? Really, because
you also have to stay competitive compared to the other countries as well. You know, you don't want to start lagging behind them.
Well, it becomes a business, not a club. And those things become particularly important financially because you have to stay competitive, blah, 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 as opposed to being just a club.
But we just had the big DFL protest where they kept yapping on about how German football is going to become irrelevant very soon. And now you have how many German teams in the semifinals of the Champions League and how many British teams do you have in there?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, 50+1 is the...
And the, not even the best German teams this year.
That's true.
Right? It's Bayern and Dortmund. It's like 2-5. It's not even like, anyway, sorry.
But to be fair, Leverkusen is the biggest 50+1 cheats there are.
Yeah, well...
Are they biggest? Are we still like Red Bull? Where the employees or whatever are the 50+1 membership or whatever. Come on.
Yeah, but how long has Leverkusen?
Or is it the same thing? Is it just Bayer that owns, obviously, that controls it? In that way, is it the same?
One thing I would like to float here, and we can pick up the 50+1 later on. Whatever Hertha does, do not take on Harry Kane. Because wherever he goes, no trophies, nothing.
Yes. So, do we have other things to cover, or is that it?
Money bad.
Money bad, yes.
50+1, good.
Yeah, right, that's... Good title, John. All right. Excellent. Money bad. Yeah, just wrap it up there.
Yeah. And that also means bad with money. And so that works on another level as well.
Yeah.
So, I like that. All right. So, okay. So I think that covers it for this week. Fingers crossed for Sunday against our friends from Karlsruhe. Friends, quote unquote. Joel, don't yell at me.
Ooh.
So, okay. So, I'm Patrick. Simon, who are you?
Oh, I'm Simon, actually.
Awesome. Jan, who are you?
I'm Joel.
Okay. And Joel, who are you?
Wait, does that make me the patriarchal Jan? I mean,
nice. Fun. Nice. Perfect. So, enjoy the match, enjoy your weekend, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.
Wir wollen Hertha siegen sehen. Die ganze Kurve, sie kriegt hoch auf ihr Seite, schießt ein Tor.